Welcome, everybody, to Hidden Guardians Podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. Today, in this relatively quick and dirty episode, I am no longer alone. I am being... Avenge has returned to the fold after needed a bit of time away. I don't blame him. You know, he's got to keep an eye on his Cayman Island bank accounts and the $3 that's in there, so...
Hey, that could go up at any time, man. I'm ready for it to skyrocket to the moon, as the kids say.
Yeah, but you bet it all in the Garfield. You bet it all in Garfield coin. Is that what I heard? And so it's just like tanks.
Hey, whoa!
They saw Chris Pratt was like starring in the next movie, which is like, nah, we're done. We're just pull the plug
on it right now. We tried, guys.
Oh my god. We do have a little bit of information coming up for season 23, which is less than a week away when this thing goes live. Less than a week, something like that. We have, we're talking about what is going to be the weapon, the exotic weapon on the seasonal reward track for the Battle Pass. We have some economy and rewards changes happening, a little bit of Iron Banner. And a little bit about the new dungeon coming. Yeah. And anything else that pops into our head and whatever tangents we go off on.
Hey.
Exactly. So, Venge, are you excited for the reimagined exotic coming?
I actually am. Some good old Dragon's Breath making its return, which... I'm a little surprised because I thought during the like the reveal stream, I can't remember what it was. I thought it was supposed to come out with the final shape. So
I know. It, you know what? At this point, who cares?
Oh yeah. No, it doesn't bother me at all.
We have no idea now even about that expansion.
Yeah.
To put it mildly, we're hoping that in about a week or so, we'll know more.
Yeah.
I'm actually not even thinking we're going to hear anything until like after they're done with their winter break and back in the offices in January.
It'll be about a month before it's supposed to come out.
Yeah, so then they'll hit us with whatever is going down. So, yeah.
All right.
Dragon's Breath.
Let's take a look at what makes this exotic a hot item. Burn the World, which is the exotic intrinsic. The fuel counter passively increases the longer you go without firing it to a maximum of times 5. Firing Dragon's Breath then it empties this counter, transferring all fuel to the rocket. Rockets then embed themselves and struck targets, causing scorch damage and periodically ejecting incendiary fuel into pools around the target that inflicts scorch damage to anyone standing in them. The more fuel a rocket is fired with, the longer it lasts before detonating, and the more fire it spreads. Ioctane, the other intrinsic. With this intrinsic, nearby ignitions instantly refill your Dragon's Breath with 2 fuel. Plus, when its fuel fully refills, it reloads itself. So, that's pretty cool. Once you've got this thing in hand, make sure to pay a visit to the Gunsmith and Towers so you can get the quest for the exotic catalyst. Speaking of which, the catalyst is called Pyromancer, and the catalyst passively replenishes your dragon breath's fuel faster. Eliminating combatants with this weapon causes them to spawn fire sprites as well. I don't think I used it a ton, but I did really enjoy this rocket launcher in Destiny 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when we knew that it was coming back, we also had to have had an idea that it was going to work with solar.
It better. I mean, the old one, yeah. Like napalm pools. I mean, it better be like scorch and stuff in this one. So there it is.
Yeah. So I actually dig it. I've seen some jokes on Twitter about how the weapon itself, they took the model from a sparrow that looks like this. And I've laughed about that every time I see it.
Why do we think that sparrow was also in D1? Because I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if it was in D1, but
I'm almost certain that it could have been in Destiny 1 as well, and it may have come out around the same time that Dragon's Breath hit in Destiny 1 as well.
Yeah.
So, you know. For those that don't know what it looks like, it actually is the same rocket launcher model as the Hothead. When you look at it, except it's painted up in military green and it has like the nose cone art, which looks like a shark's mouth open. Like it's going roar or something at you.
It's a fun weapon, and I will probably use it a good amount because I like fire. So
I want to know how much damage it does. I want to see the amounts of damage it does to big targets. The ongoing damage as they're standing in like these scorching pools of, you know, hell that it's supposed to generate.
Yeah,
I want to see what that's going to be like. Beyond that, you know, I really think we're going to have to see what the seasonal artifact mods are going to be like. I mean, if they're doing if Dragon's Breath, which is a solar weapon, is the battle pass thing, I can almost say there's probably going to be some solar related stuff on the artifact, but we definitely know there's a stasis stuff on the artifact too.
Yeah, I saw that talked about by the Destiny 2 team Twitter. So
yeah, so potentially fire and ice could be the theme of the artifact coming up.
Yeah, okay. I think this week we should also hear about the stasis ability changes too, but I don't want to get too far
No, it's a okay segue. We will be hearing about the artifact mods, what is going to be available for stasis. They're going to be talking about stasis because they're going to be talking about ability tunings and things this week. So I'm wondering if it's going to be a little bit more than just stasis that's getting tuned. You know, what are they going to be cranking up? What are they going to be turning down? All in preparation for whenever the hell the expansion comes out. Speaking of other changes happening, there's some economy and rewards tuning that's being done. They give a little bit of a recap here, but that we already went over all that in a previous show, and I'm going to link this in the description so you can read it later if you choose to. But for the new stuff, there's new rewards for lost sectors. So starting with Season of the Wish next week, we're introducing addition. That's terrible that Wish is this season and Wish is next season.
Yeah, it's very easy to just
mean
one thing and say the other thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yay, seasons.
And this is the final season, too. Don't forget that, folks.
That's true, yes.
They're going away after this season coming up. They're introducing additional rewards for completing lost sectors without assistance or comfort of a stalwart fire team. So you got to do it solo. While Gunsmith Engrams will be introduced as a reward to all difficulties of lost sectors, select foundry weapons will also drop from Legend and Master completions. Weapon drop rates, assuming the Guardian is thorough enough to leave no champions standing, that's always the key. You have to wipe out every champion to get these drop rates to occur. Legend, which is the first of the two advanced difficulties, is a 70% drop rate chance, while Master is a 100% drop rate chance. Through completions on Master difficulty, we'll also have the advantage of weapons dropping with an additional perk in either the third or fourth column, which could be helpful in chasing that perfect roll. Weapons available from the lost sectors are grouped into several smaller pools, making chasing a particular weapon more feasible, and they'll rotate after each daily reset. Following weapons will be available from lost sectors during Season of the Wish. So on day one of Season of the Wish, which would be not this coming Tuesday, but next Tuesday, the Nox Perennial 5, the Old Sterling, the Marsilian C, and the Sinuous SI6 are going to be available on day two. It's the Psi Hermetic 5, Glissando 47, I'm not going to pronounce that, and then NASA Brennan on day two. Day three, the Heliocentric QSC, the Last Foray, hand-in-hand in the Battle Scar. And on day four, Geodetic HSM, that is a void sword that started appearing this season, which I don't know if they're going to change the loadouts, but it can roll with destabilizing rounds and repulsor brace in the third and fourth slots, respectively.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that.
Uh-huh. I kind of want that one, but, you know, when am I ever going to use it? no, really, I mean...
It is a sword.
I just like those perk rolls, that's all. Combined action will be part of it, harsh language will be part of it, and the Kornok 22 will be part of it. And after the fourth day, so day five, the cycle will repeat. Much like the Dreaming City, it will just keep going on and on and on forever. As you may have noticed, these weapons are also available from World Loot Pool drops. The newest World Loot Pool weapons will eventually find their way into Lost Sector chests in the season after their debut. Once enough time has passed, the older weapons will then move on to being only available from the Gunsmith Focusing Pool. Of course, exotic rewards you expect will still drop from the Legend and Master Lost Sectors if you complete them solo. With the inclusion of Gunsmith Engrams and more weapon rewards, we expect each run to feel more rewarding, whatever your goal might be. What do you think of this? Before we move on to the next part.
I mean, it's not, I don't know if it's going to be something I interact with, but I know there's a lot of people that like to chase certain world drops. And to kind of be able to bunch them together like this four in a drop pool is a positive for people that are wanting to, you know, grind for their ideal role on these weapons. I feel like the Legend and Master Lost Sectors have been pretty unrewarding, especially when you go through and get like an enhancement core, like no exotic, you just, or get Glimmer, which has happened to me a lot. So I like it. It does make you obviously shoot for the platinum on champions, but I do think it's a positive change, and it's a something that will probably get people to interact more with the solo Lost Sectors.
I think it's a half change, and I don't think it's good enough.
Okay, sure.
I really don't think it's good enough. And it's because they're putting old weapons in there, and the new ones they're not putting into here. If you really want to increase people going in and out of Lost Sectors more frequently, these weapons should just only be dropping in the Lost Sectors. That's mm-hmm. it. Also, I would really love to know what the drop rate percentages are for the exotics for the completion of the Lost Sector solo. I mean, we just got the what the legend is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the exotic one? I mean, I think it's about time that we know, because as you can complete a Master Lost Sector on repeat, 100% every champion, and go 10, 15, 20 runs and nothing.
Yeah.
If your RNG is that bad because of the drop rate is still low, it could be less than 20% on Master. We have no idea. We really don't. Like I said, this feels like a kind of a half step. It's in the right direction, but I don't mm-hmm. think they went strong enough to really encourage people to go into these Lost Sectors, because frankly, all these other weapons, I'm pretty sure you were able to get at the Gunsmith at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This season, this means nothing to me. I'm not going to go hunting down weapons that are not really best in slot in the Lost Sector.
Yeah.
And furthermore, just really quick, if you have the Lightfall expansion, you don't even have to go into a Lost Sector if you're only looking for the exotics. Just find one of the countdown timers for the Vex the Vex invasion event.
Yeah.
And just complete that.
I did that a lot at the beginning of this season. I caught up on a lot of exotics because I don't enjoy solo lost sectors. So,
no, me neither. And even though they've done this change, and on paper it looks like it's more rewarding for me, when I step back and look at what they're offering, I don't want this. This isn't a good enough carrot for me, you know.
Yeah, I think one thing, and I can't remember where they said it. Older weapons will then move on to being only available from the gunsmith focusing. I do feel like there's a good chunk of these weapons that have obviously been there for a while and probably should have stayed there. And I do agree that more, like, newer weapons or weapons that are dropping next season should be the priority for this rotation.
Yeah.
To allow more variety and looking for the newer stuff as opposed to going with older stuff.
Yeah, just imagine if the only way to get the new gun that'll eventually enter, say, the world loot pool in general the following season, the only way to get the new guns are in the lost sectors, you would have people going into the lost sectors trying to find it, because somebody would go on light GG and find, like, oh my god, this is the best PvP or PvE role. And it would be all over the place. You'd have assed across, oh my god, you know, all that stuff. And just going on and on. And that would be more exciting than, oh, here's all the old stuff. The new stuff's going to be in the extremely watered down drop rates that you may never get anything, even completing heroic public events.
Yeah.
Enjoy your glimmer. It's a step in the right direction, but it felt like a half step that they didn't go all the way on. And yeah, for me, that's an executive decision, and I have thoughts about the executives, but I'm not going to go there right now.
That is a conversation for a future
day. Oh, that's a conversation when we start finding out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
That I'm saving all that for then. But while we're also here, there are some ritual engram focusing changes. There's a little note. It says chart was updated on November 17th because the original version of this was based on some old numbers. And yeah, I yelled when I saw some of these old numbers. I think the trials focusing was like 10 engrams.
Yeah. Just, and I was like, insane.
The fuck? You know, 10 engrams? How the hell are you going to do that? It's like, what the hell? I was like, are these things going to be raining out of the sky when you're losing? I mean, come on. No, it's been changed. The changes are as follows. So when you're using your ritual engram, for the new ritual weapon, it's 1 engram, 0 glimmer. The recent ritual pool weapons are going to be 3 engrams per pool, 5,000 glimmer per pool. Standard ritual pool armor, 3 and 5,000. I don't really think you need to pull for that armor anymore. Legacy ritual weapons, these are the old stuff. 5 engrams and 15,000 glimmer. Same with the armor, legacy ritual armor, 5 and 15. Iron Banner weapons, 1 Iron Banner engram, 20,000 glimmer. Nightfall weapons, 5 engrams, 25,000 glimmer. Adept Nightfall weapons, 5 engrams, 50,000 glimmer. And 10 of those Nightfall ciphers, which only drop from Grandmaster Nightfalls. I think if you do three Grandmasters, you have the 10. I'm pretty certain.
What do you feel about that? Because I feel like when it caps at 10...
I think the amount of ritual engrams required should be lowered, because you're already having to reinvest multiple GM runs to get more ciphers.
Mm-hmm.
The glimmer amount, you might be making most of it back in a GM run, I guess. Yeah. But I think the cipher amount should be the engram amount should be reduced a little bit, especially for the requirement of the 10 ciphers. If you get unlucky, you're doing 4 GM runs to get the right amount of ciphers.
And then, like, if that, like, that's the only thing you're using those ciphers on. So,
I don't know.
It almost feels like they either need to raise that cap or reduce it.
I still don't understand why they put the ciphers in there. It's just like an extra currency. I mean, if you kept it at 5 of these engrams and 50,000 a piece, I mean, you're basically like, you know, all except the people that have like almost infinite amounts of currency they can convert are going to be doing multiple things. Average players might be able to do 1 or 2 and then go, nope, I'm going to be broke. But just adding those 10 ciphers, it's like, it seems like just an unnecessary barrier for the diehards that have way too much stuff accumulated over multiple years.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I feel like they just need to get rid of the ciphers.
I agree.
And it does feel like it was just an unnecessary added currency.
Yeah, I don't dig currencies for currency's sake, and that's what it feels like to me.
Especially since it's only for adept weapons. Like, you're not using them for anything else, so what's the point of even having them?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
You can't convert it, you know? And once you get 10, they're basically stuck at 10. And unless you find a Grandmaster you want to do that has a new weapon in it, then you might want to get another roll, or another one that returned that you already have a adept version of. You know, you're just sitting on these things. They're just taking up one space in your inventory. Trials weapons. 1 trials engram and 20,000. I think that's a little expensive for trials guns. But that's just personal. I think maybe 10 or 15 would be a little bit more doable, but 20, all right, whatever. Adept trials weapons. 1 engram, 50,000, and a 7-win trials passage after glowing flawless.
I feel like that's about what it is right now.
No, that is.
Maybe adding the engram. I don't know if you needed the engram when you were cashing in your... Oh, you do?
You do.
Okay.
Yeah. You need one. You need to have an engram. I had that problem once. A couple seasons ago, I got to go flawless, and I didn't have an engram because I used it all to try to get the other like armor pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
And I forgot that I needed an engram. By the way, I still don't like the idea that you can spend all weekend getting a 7-win card and you still can't get an adept weapon without going flawless. I personally think the flawless stuff really should be like an extra weapon, you know, because you get the chest, cosmetic items, things like that.
I agree. I think maybe if you go flawless, maybe an extra perk in each slot on like the third and fourth column, or just like more cosmetics. Like people, I feel like the most recent one has been the ship that people have been like dying to get, and there's people that have gone flawless. I guess I think of Grenader Jake. I don't know how many times he went flawless. It was like almost a full season of running trials that he got it like on like the second to last weekend before the season was over, something like that.
Of course.
So like the drop rate is really, really low, but when it's hard for weapons to feel unique, I feel like the cosmetics are the bigger draw for a lot of people.
Yeah. And honestly, I still feel that if you get even a flawed passage with 7 wins on it, and you're not that good of a player, but you've been sticking it out and helping your opposing teams go to the lighthouse all weekend, one adept weapon is worth your time. Make it feel, and it would feel special because it's not that I went flawless. It's no, I grinded my way to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is it. I got my one weapon. It may not have the best rolls on it, but it's mine. And now I have one. That's awesome. Hey, it may encourage you to keep coming back into the pool. You may start getting better. You eventually go flawless. You get cool cosmetics and another and a copy of the weapon in the chest. Plus, you can turn in your thing, your passage for another one. You get more loot that way. I just think this idea of tying the adept weapon specifically behind going flawless anymore on a card based on wins.
Mm-hmm.
You can just eliminate that and just get 7 wins. I know people that don't get 7 wins in an entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just be more fair. And also for Trials and Iron Banner legacy weapons, if you own the weapon, this is important. If you own the weapon, it is 2 engrams. If you don't own the weapon, meaning I'm guessing you're purchasing it for the first time, it is 5 engrams. 10,000 glimmer if owned, 15,000 if unowned. That's a good change, actually, because otherwise you have to rely on RNG to drop the weapon by cashing in the engrams on their own. Now you just buy it. I find it funny that this change is going into effect after the immortal is leaving the pool.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
That's too bad.
As with this new system in place, players will be earning more Vanguard, Crucible, and Gambit engrams than ever before. So don't forget that engrams being held by tower vendors like Shaxx, Zavala, Saladin, Saint 14, and Drifter reset at the end of each season, while those stored at helm vendors will persist until the final shape. So yeah, if you got like a lot of them, just go spend them while you can this week, and maybe see if you get a roll on a weapon that you want, or just cash them in and turn them into legendary shards and glimmer. Because why not? And I think legendary shards are going away next season anyways, or the final shape. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's next? Well, we got a little bit of Iron Banner here and the dungeon stuff. Why don't you tell us about it?
Let's talk about some Iron Banner Last Call, which is actually done by the time this goes live.
Yeah, but at least the weapon parts are the more interesting things.
I'll just read this whole thing. With the final Iron Banner of the season coming to a close, we want to provide a quick and friendly reminder to finish up your triumphs and get any rewards you want to grab. Our dear Lord Saladin started giving out more engrams in a recent update, but be warned again, he won't save those for next season. Since the point of the stag, Legendary Bow is a fan favorite right now, maybe it's a good idea to secure a nice roll with those engrams. Just saying. Next season, we will have Iron Banner Tribute. Check out a twab from a 2 months ago for details on the Chaotic Mode. As a reminder from last week's twab, here are the weapons leaving and joining Iron Banner next season. Leaving the Dark Decider Auto Rifle and the Ghenora's Axe Slug Shotgun. New weapon coming in is Lethal Abundant Strand High Impact Auto Rifle, and the returning is a Reese Walker Kinetic Lightweight Shotgun.
I want to see what new roles Reese Walker is going to have on it, because that is a very good shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
High Impact Strand Auto Rifle?
I'm not sure I know that off the top of my head what the high impact is as far as like RPMs.
Like 360 RPM.
Oh, okay. So it's like Abyss Defiant from Curtis End.
Yeah, it's a slower firing one, but it hits harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here going, It depends. Really depends on the rolls, the perks, and everything on it.
Yeah.
When I want a Strand auto rifle, you know, I have that exotic from Lightfall.
The old Quicksilver Storm.
Still one of the best weapons in the game for PvE.
Oh, easily. And I also still crazy. Really like Rufus's Fury from Root of Nightmares. That's
yeah,
that's
if
a solid
rated,
one.
Yeah, Rufus's Fury is also good. So it's kind of hard to put down those things if you need a Strand auto rifle, but you know, it really
yeah.
depends on the rolls on this thing.
All right, and then the new Year 6 dungeon date. Is that a new dungeon we see on the horizon? Yep, it is. Our new dungeon for Year 6 is scheduled to go live at 9 a.m. PST on Friday, December 1st, which is the Friday of the season release. Guardians will then be able to jump in and start collecting their epic loot. I'm sure we could speculate all day long where it's going to be, this, that, and the other, but...
My guess, because now since we know it's Season of the Wish,
mm-hmm.
and typically that involves, well, it's involving another Ahamkara dragon, when you're dealing with that stuff, you're dealing with Marisov, you're dealing with the Dreaming City, and the Awoken People, because, you know, the Tangled Shore doesn't exist anymore.
It's gonna be Shattered Throne 2.0. Thoughts?
I am definitely thinking it's gonna be Shattered Throne 2.0.
Oh boy!
I am you made a joke, and I am being dead serious. I think we're looking at another potential Taken dungeon,
mm-hmm.
and I would not be shocked if it was like a part two to the Shattered Throne. Like instead of purging, you know, Savathun's daughter out of it, like in the first one. Now it's going through and trying to fix the place so it can be used for whatever we need it to be used for, to open up the Trav Dussy, you know, and get in there.
What if this dungeon, when beaten, clears the cycle in the Dreaming City? I feel like that's very unlikely, but
and that'd be nice. I mean, but would they be taking away the Dreaming City then as a patrol space? Because a big part of it is every week the corruption gets more and more pronounced because there's mm-hmm. certain things that happen during it, like placements of. Some of those
like the eggs.
Yeah, the eggs and all that stuff. And
the eggs, the
I think they would have to do so much work.
The ascendant planes.
Do that.
Yeah.
If you really want something, we might still save the Dreaming City, but in game the cycle just keeps going because, you know, we can't stop it from blossoming over and over again, but at least now the people aren't trapped there. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I feel
like
bad for that one that was bleeding out every first week of the season, you know, every first week.
Yeah. I feel like that would make sense. I feel like it would require way too much technical work to kind of make everything be present with the cycle gone. So
I think if they were going to purge the Dreaming City completely and all that, they would be actually removing the Dreaming City as a patrol space and probably also taking Last Wish as a raid away, too. You know?
Yeah. Kind
of free everything up, but they're not saying they're doing that, so I have no idea. But no, I'm thinking it's going to be in the Dreaming City. I'm thinking the dungeon's going to be there.
Same. Definitely same.
I mean, what was it? The... Spire of the Watcher took place on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And the Witch Queen expansion took place on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The kind of like the mind. What was it? The Duality Dungeon took place on the Corrupted Dreadnought during that season of the Witch Queen.
Yep.
But it was using like the Savathun mind fuckery to go into the mind of Kallus.
Yeah.
So you know, there seemed to be tying the dungeons more to the seasons and the expansions. So yeah, I'm thinking very well it could be. I mean, what was Ghost of the Deep about? Them trying to resurrect Oryx when the Taken King raid came back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of all there, so I think it's a very good shot that it's going to be in the Dreaming City at this point. Hopefully we get some cool-looking Taken armor out of it.
Yeah, I hope the armor and weapons are worth grinding for, because I think of, like, Ghost of the Deep. And initially, I was really into it, and I think I've run the dungeon, like, two or three times since the last time I ran with you. So, I just have not done it enough. And
slog.
That too. I just hope that there's some enticing gear all around to make it worth running and farming.
Oh, me too. Mentioning Ghost of the Deep, you know, Bungie did mention one of their little blog posts that they're trying to bring the challenge back and all that. I'm wondering if this is going to be on par with Ghost of the Deep when it comes to boss health pool, long and drawn out steps to get a damage phase going.
Oh, God.
Traversals that takes too long to go in between encounters.
I think that was one thing that really turned me off of Ghost of the Deep was the underwater sections and just like you're moving a lot slower. And yes, it's really, really pretty. Like it's really cool to look at the environment. But when you're going at like -2 speed, it's also just a huge pain in the ass.
Well, I hate the initial opening encounter to Ghost of the Deep.
Yeah, it's so drawn out.
It's so spread out. It's like, I don't care that I can use my Sparrow. It's like, God, I just want to get in there. Open up, please. I'm like that. Eric Andre meme, let me in, you know, the gates. Trying to get into the main doors. And
yeah,
it's like, you got to go all over the damn map and then run back and then match a symbol and then do it again and again and again, like 4 times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes too long. It goes to the deep. I mean, as a 3-person dungeon, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The boss fights are still kind of a slog, specifically the last one.
Yeah, there's a lot to do before you can even like get to the steps of starting damage.
But I'm telling you, that is a dungeon when you and I got through it, when we did it on our own, we were trying to 2-man the dungeon, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were at that first boss, XR, and it took us a long time to get done with it. And it's like, I'm sitting there going, how the hell am I going to be able to do this as a solo?
Yeah, that was the way. That it felt like the first dungeon since they have really leaned pretty heavily into going solo, that they made it seem like you almost needed a team to do it. Like it's incredibly challenging, even with 3 people. Like it's a lot.
I thought they said that typically when they did a dungeon, they keyed them towards a solo run through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously it was easier when you had 3 people, as it mm-hmm. should be. This time they programmed it and they did it specifically as a 3-person run, so it made a solo run that much more difficult.
And just really incredibly lengthy in time, like the commitment required.
I've been trying Spire of the Watcher. I've been trying Spire of the Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't get past that stupid harpy on top of the tower.
Yeah.
So many damage phases. So little being done to it because it has such a big health bar. And I've watched other people do it. I've tried different builds, you know, as best as I can, and I just can't do it. And I know I can finish it, but the downside is it's now, okay, this is now going to take me, like, so many hours to do.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't necessarily want to be sitting in front of my TV playing this game in this particular dungeon and frustrating myself for, like, 9, 10, 12 hours. And yeah. Ghost of the Deep, I'm sitting there going, I can't even do this with checkpoints? No way. I'm not. It's going to make me so frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped running it, and that's why I don't have the navigator either.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't have the navigator. Yeah, that sucks. I kind of wanted that trace rifle.
Same. That the navigator and Touch of Malice are the only two like raid and dungeon exotics that I don't have.
I don't have Necrochasm, and I don't see myself getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the conditional finality shotgun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I have that. Getting that either.
I can't remember if we talked about it when I did get it, but I got it on like my 33rd like actual defeat of Nezarek.
Mm-hmm.
And like if it wasn't something that I had been able to farm for, I think I farmed it for like 4 or 5 hours before I got it. With the rate that I was running with my raid team, I think I would have gotten it like a week or two before then. Just because it was like one raid a week, but it's like that would have taken me 2/3 of a year before I even saw this drop. And
even going to do LFGs or anything for Root of Nightmares, and the people I play with, they're not going into it
mm-hmm.
any longer because they were doing it enough so they could craft their weapons and try to get everybody, you know, their exotics. But when everybody else has it and you're like the only person there and everybody else wants to go do the newest thing,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose out.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. But I'm fine with it because honestly, I thought about it. It's like, what am I going to do with that weapon? It's going to either sit on my character sheet or in my vault or just, you know, in collections. And I'm not going to use it. Same thing with Navigator. Same thing with Necrochasm. Sorry, we're going off on this. We're just talking about a release date for a dungeon.
That's where we ended up.
Fond of when it comes to dungeon stuff, even though I do find dungeons to be some of the best activities this game has to offer. So
oh, I'm absolutely. Excited
for the new one. Definitely.
Same.
I'm going to hope to do it that Friday as well. I just have to find people to do it with. I'll see if any of my clan members are available. Might be fun. I don't know. But that's it really for everything out of this twiddly diddly blog post.
Mm-hmm.
This week we'll find out the last stuff that they're going to give us prior to the new season launching in, you know, a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, we really don't know too much about the next season except the nuts and bolts changes, the name of it, and there's another dragon involved.
You think we're going to get a trailer like tomorrow or this week? I'm assuming we'll get something. I just don't know when.
We'll get a trailer when the trailer's going to come out while the patch is loading next Tuesday.
I hate that.
I know you do. I don't like it either, but that's kind of what they're doing. They don't want to expose, I guess, this what the story beats are. I cut the trailer differently. Just show us the armor. Show us the guns. Give us the names of those things.
Once the season's out there, it's like it gets data mined anyway, and everything's out. So,
yeah. Probably what's going to go down is that morning before the thing goes live for everybody else to see it, they're going to update the website, mm-hmm. and somebody's going to use an HTML reader on it and find all the information out.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's just what they did last season, all that. They do it every time. So now we're not going to know much more than what we know. And we do know that we're going to find out about artifact mods, specifically stasis related ones. And
I bet that's Wednesday.
Ability changes and stuff. No, it'll be Thursday. It's not going to be a Wednesday blog post. It'll be a weekly update only blog post.
You think?
Yes, I do. Because most of the communications team was fired.
Oh, that's true.
They've kind of hampered their ability to get multiple messages out because they don't have multiple people working on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's left? Cosmo, Bruno, and I think one other?
I mean, if that...
If that, I definitely know it's Cosmo and Bruno.
Yeah, I know they're the last. I thought they were the last two, but I don't know if
there's like one more person that's an international CM. But that's it. And the player support team's pretty much gone. So, you know, the fact that we got a TWAB this week, or TWID, or whatever, and I think Cosmo did it because the last punctuation mark on it, where it says thanks for hanging out with us before being signed by the Destiny 2 community team again. If you click on the exclamation point, it takes you to a cat picture.
Little kitty, yeah.
And that was very much a Cosmo thing. And it was adopted by some of the others. So, you know, I'm not expecting anything till Thursday. And it's going to be the TWID. And they'll do all the changes and stuff in there, and that's it. And I think the days of us actually getting more communication is over.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with the spot they left themselves in.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible for everybody that lost their position.
Big same.
Yeah, let's not go down this road any further for today. it is at our podcast is at Spotify for podcasts. Hidden Guardians podcast. Click the like button if you like this stuff. If you like hearing from us. We appreciate everybody that does. Our link tree is there too. If you need to reach out to us, email address is there. Plus. Links to our social accounts, you know, on Twitter, formerly known as X. And, you know, just send us a message. Also, keep an eye out if you're listening on Spotify that we tried to put up a question and a poll. And we'd love to get some feedback from the people that do listen.
Yes.
Yeah, next week, like I said, whatever's in the TWID, just the one right before the new season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it, figure it all out, try to get it out there as soon as we can. In the meantime, thank you for listening, folks. We appreciate every single one of you. Take care, be well, and bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.